Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Now, one of the most persistent complaints from young women in school or workplaces is that they have been victims of some form of sexual harassment. They say that harassment is either overt or subtle, but either way, it creates an uncomfortable and hostile environment that makes it hard for women to advance their careers or acquire knowledge in case of students. But harassment also occurs outside of these two controlled environments, I mean work or school. It occurs in many places where offensive and sexist behavior are common. It takes place on the street, in places of public transportation, or even online in this internet age. From the offensive remarks, obscene jokes that are insulting and degrading, touching and in some extreme cases, undressing or raping of the victim. Now, how widespread is this, you ask? Well, let's take an example, a report by the United Nations Entity for Gender Equality and the Empowerment of Women. It published a report last year showing the most recent statistics of sexual harassment in Egypt. In the report, 99% of women, of Egyptian women, said that they have experienced some form of sexual harassment. Those who have been victims at the receiving end of this harassment say that it affects them both on a psychological and also on a physical level. Professional women in workplaces say that this type of harassment or this type of behavior impedes their career development. And while students, female students, say that they have either had to quit school or change their academic goals. Let me also mention that there have been efforts and some successes in combating sexual harassment through different forms of activism. I think this generation is more aware of sexual harassment than previous generations before them, and it's becoming more unacceptable these days. And so it's clear that there's a conversation that is evolving and needs to be continually confronted by different social entities of both genders. So what is your take on this? Most importantly, what do you see as your role? Let's talk. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
There are very big challenges for us in Uganda, in Kampala, and I think in some parts of Africa. Women have been a target of abuses in terms of unnecessary touches without consent. They've been insulted, abuses have been hurled at them. But I think it's a problem. It's a problem that you have, and I think the government should come up strongly to help and protect the women, because as you know, women have been vulnerable culturally, socially, economically, and instead of empowering them, we see people coming up to disempower them. Some blame them for the indecent dressing, and others blame them for various reasons, but I think there should not be reason enough to have them harassed.
Yeah, there are sexual harassment calls, come on, there are, you know, sexual gestures, and if someone doesn't like it, yeah, it's a sexual harassment.
Those people never see it as something very big, maybe because of maybe gender imbalance. They feel a woman is supposed to, you know, go through all that. They feel like it's a way.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. We love having you on board. And thank you to all our listeners who've sent in comments, whether it was via Twitter, Facebook, or sending us an email. We love hearing from you. On today's show, we're talking about sexual harassment, something that many women experience on a daily basis, whether it be in the workplace, walking down the road, doing some grocery shopping. It's something that often happens blatantly. There are often undertones of it in many people's interactions on a daily basis, whether it's with strangers or with colleagues, whatever the case may be. And in some cases, we experience blatant, outright sexual harassment. So that's what we're talking about on today's show, and we want to hear your opinions.
I
can say in schools, mostly that's where it happens. Sometimes at work, for instance, a boss might harass people, especially ladies. Like, maybe you can say that, do this, I'll promote you. That's what happens.
When you're talking of sexual harassment, it means there's no consent of that particular person, or else that person is allowing you to touch him or her because she's looking for something from you. For at one point in time, a certain woman had to come to me telling me that, you see what this man has done to me, he touched, you know, my breast and whatsoever because he wants me. If I don't do that, you will not approve my assignment at school.
Generalized sexist statements and behavior that might be insulting or degrading have degrading attitudes about women are considered as sexual harassment. In workplaces, unwanted or inappropriate and offensive sexual advances have been reported by young women who say that they feel uncomfortable. Paula Rogo is a Kenyan television producer here in Washington, D.C. She says that it's very important for young female professionals to set the boundaries as soon as they enter into a new professional workforce.
It can be difficult to figure out. I'd like to say that if you are a woman, you have probably experienced sexual harassment from a young age to the point that you might not even be able to recognize it half the time because you're so used to it. But I think just as a woman and instinctually, you know when something is off, when you feel uncomfortable, there's a leer, a stare, something is said. Sirens will go off to let you know that something is off.
Now you say you get programmed at a young age?
Yeah.
How young is that?
You know, you never know. As in, you know, it depends on what country you are. But there's some places where little girls are whistled at as they walk by, where you get stared by older men. And I remember a situation when I was, I believe, about 10 years old, and I was in South Africa standing right next to my dad, and I was catcalled. Right next to my dad.
Wow. A 10-year-old?
Yes, a 10.
That seems really young.
It seems very young, but these are just things you sort of learn to avoid. And
do you know what it is that's going on?
You know you're not comfortable. I think that's what it is. You know
the attention is a little creepy.
Yeah, and I think every woman is able to recognize when something is off and something is not comfortable. I think we choose our battles with what we're going to fight against.
Right. That means how you respond to the
right.
advances.
Right. Sometimes you just keep your head down, you keep walking, and sometimes it might be so much that you actually have to respond and sort of set the record straight. But I think when I say choose your battles, we are approached and sort of attacked, and I do think it's a form of an attack every single day, that if you try to respond to every single little thing that comes your way, big or small, we would be exhausted.
You get tired.
At the end of the day.
Right.
So like I said, you pick your battles. Now, I think what changes is that, especially with the office place, it's one thing to get catcalled or stared at or touched on, you know, different things on the street, in a bar, grocery store, airport, everywhere, versus a place where you go every day, where you get paid, where you're hoping you're an equal opportunity worker.
Right.
And that's where...
In a professional environment.
Yes. And that's where things can get a little awry at times.
Okay. Yeah. And you say that, you know, you choose your battles, but, you know, somebody will catch you on the wrong day, I guess.
Yes.
And then you'll give them a piece of your mind.
Yes.
Have you ever had to do that?
Yes. You know, it's a learning opportunity. You know, it's something you learn over time. My first case of a sexual harassment at a workplace was when I worked in college. I worked retail. And this guy would constantly try to talk to me. Mm. And I would avoid him at all costs, take my lunch breaks at different times, until a boss noticed the actions and actually told me it's wrong and I should actually complain about it, which I had not even considered doing at the time because you're just used to random people saying all kinds of things to you.
Now, this person was trying to take you out on a date?
You know, it just like this dare is try would come sort of, you know, yes. The goal was to get my attention.
Men would ask, how do I get your attention as a woman without coming off as, you know, harassing you?
In a workplace?
Yes. Or anywhere, in any environment. Because regardless of whether it's a workplace or not, I feel like the...
I think it's difficult because I've had these conversations with male friends all the time. You know, they see a beautiful woman on the street and they generally just want to say, I think you're beautiful, I think you look great. But sometimes as women, we have our guards up all the time. And it's only certain situations where we're looking for that sort of attention. So, you know, for a guy, you know, don't try to be corny, you know. Don't do it in a way that could be seen as aggressive, you know, whistling and a catcall. No one is going to take that well, no matter where they are.
If you came and said hello and you introduce yourself in like every civilized human being, and that will not be reproached.
Yeah, the goal is to always make her feel as comfortable as possible. The thing with sexual harassment is you're making the person feel uncomfortable one way or another. And if that's what you're planning to do, just a general, genuine approach, then the best way to do it is to make that person feel comfortable. Now, in an office space, you know, I'm generally of the school that the sort of thing that shouldn't be happening in the office. I know office romances happen and all that kind of stuff, but...
That's a no-go zone.
Like, yeah, it's a
no-go zone. Anything romantic related should be left outside of the professional environment.
Yeah, that's just my school of thought.
I think I agree with you, and many people do agree with you that that's not the place to...
It's safer for the female and then also for the male, because you do not want... those kind of, you don't want HR to suddenly show up at your desk one day and say that there have been complaints when you think you were just being genuinely nice. So, and those things do happen, and I've heard very many stories about that. But, you know, for women, if they do go to a place, let's say they started a new place and they are approached and they don't feel comfortable, I think it's important to nip it in the bud early.
With that particular co-worker.
Yes.
But what
There's
if it's a workplace environment?
Sorry?
What if it's a workplace culture environment where people are kind of loose with the way they talk or with the way they interact with each other, and you coming in from outside, you probably are not aware of this workplace culture, and that even if it looks like it's a little loose, they still respect the boundaries of each other.
Yeah, but you know, you teach people how to treat you. So you can. It's okay to be, and by loose, it's okay to have fun. There's a very big difference between fun and actual sexual harassment.
Right.
For some people, actually, there is a difference. You just nip it in the bud really early and do it one-on-one. And it doesn't have to be like you. It doesn't have to be really tough. It doesn't have to be like you did this to me. It can just simply be like, you know, that thing you did, I don't feel comfortable about that.
Right.
I'd prefer if you just didn't do that next time. No hard feelings. Like, let's keep it moving.
And you're hoping that person will take a hint.
We'll take the hint and keep it moving. That's if it's more subtle. Now, if it's very obvious, you really have to let them know, this did not make me feel comfortable. I would prefer that you don't do it again. And if you do it again, there are consequences. And consequences include things like going to HR. Now, I know HR can mean very different things in different countries. Sometimes for women, if they go to HR in some countries, it's more of a problem,
right?
You're making those complaints.
They might as well quit the job before.
Yeah. It might cause problems,
right.
And that's very unfortunate because sexual harassment is a big issue. But you have to sort of, a lot of what this is, and these are skills women do tend to have, is it's instinct.
Mm.
Instinct in figuring out if it's actual sexual harassment or not, or if it's someone who's just really innocently done something wrong. And it's instinct in figuring out the best place, the best way to approach the situation. Realizing, hey, if I go to the boss, this will be an issue for me. If I go to HR, this might be an issue. It might be better just to do it one-on-one, or it might be better to just do it publicly. It's one of those things that you just have to sort of see your environment and try to figure it out from there. And hopefully you have allies and other women in the office place. Sometimes you really have
allies.
Who will back you up and who can give you advice as well. So always look out for female allies.
Right. Paula Roger, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
You've just joined us, welcome to it, and thank you for being with us today. This is Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami. Jackson Bungani is doing his thing in Washington, D.C. This is the part of the show where you get to express your opinion and talk about the topic we're discussing today. Here's what you had to say.
That much depends on the kind of people that they follow, but here in Malawi, it's a sin to do that. Myself, I've done it before. I've been working with that poly for almost 5 years, so I touched a priest. So to her, it didn't mean anything. So once she didn't respond in another way that she's annoyed with that, I took that it wasn't a problem to her.
Somehow I can say it is a sexual harassment because it depends on how a man is touching that lady. Because I can't say a handshaking with a woman, if that woman is willing, can be sexual harassment, no. But if you force her maybe to touch you or you are touching her somewhere, like the breast and the like, some other parts.
Barry Bonders. Star boy, yeah. Them say them bad, but I swear them do nothing. No way. Them say them go throw me punch, but I swear them.
Sexual harassment is something that most women, I mean, I'm going to say all women, I'm sure, have experienced on some level or other. Whether you're walking down the road, in the workplace, doing grocery shopping, you know, it's something that you experience either subtly or very blatantly. Whether it's a scenario, cliched scenario of a woman walking down a road past a construction site and having to deal with the wolf whistles, etc., etc. You know, taking it into the workplace, perhaps a woman not taken as seriously as she should because of the way she dresses, for example. You know, more focus and attention being paid on what she looks like, what her hair looks like, how tight or how loose her clothing is, how, you know, petite or not she is. Those are things that a lot of women battle with because, you know, there's first that barrier that you have to get through before people take you seriously.
Nadia, to many women or girls, this type of behavior is so common in the public sphere. Like you said, you could be doing the most mundane things like grocery shopping or just walking to work. But it is equally disturbing, if not more so, that young professional women who say that certain responses to professional overtures, like, for example, requesting a face-to-face meeting, job interviews, or pursuing a contract will often be met by reciprocal demands of a sexual nature. Vienna Mbagaya is a health professional, a young mother with her own consulting firm here in Washington, D.C. She says that she sees this type of behavior on a regular basis.
Oh, so someone might suggest a meeting time that's not within the working hours. Or
the 9 to 6 meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's when they're free, though.
That's when they're free. That's true. And people always like, oh, wait a minute. You're being defensive by saying you can't go out and drink with a potential client. And I agree. I can go out and maybe not drink, but just hang out with them, socialize. Mm. But the challenge is transforming that relationship from a social one to a professional one and sticking to the professional context. A lot of times men who are in power may feel as though they are in control of that, of the context. So they're allowed to go back and forth. And you have to understand also when you're, especially if you own your own business and you represent yourself, you don't have the HR department down the hall or with you. So people have to act accordingly. People act however they want to, knowing that you need work, one. And number two, there's no one there. They're not held accountable for their actions. So you can see coming, but just by their behavior, if you notice and you feel something uncomfortable about it, somebody's suggesting a later meeting, just, you know, I would bring it up. I would say I'm available only during these times.
Is this something that has happened to you? Was it like something that you learned over time that, you know, you realize, you know, well, this after-hour meetings that have been requested are not really professional.
Yes, you know.
How do you learn that? Is it...
Experience. I have to say, I worked in corporate and I worked in the government. I've worked in many different spaces where I never experienced that, because in that context, nobody acts that way. Everybody acts accordingly. But when I stepped out on my own and I became a business owner and I started going out by myself, that's when I started encountering...
Looking for business.
And, you know, it could be LinkedIn, where you send someone a message, an inquiry, and they respond with, well, have you had dinner at this place? I heard they have great blah, blah.
They have not responded to your original request.
Yes. And, you know, a lot of women will say, oh, you're supposed to bring it back to the, you know, on topic. Make sure you focus. Tell them no. But really, look at how hard it is for us to say no in any situation, let alone when it's about your career and about your well-being and you making money, you know, having income. So when it comes to that, it's a little tricky. You want to be able to say something, but you also don't want to come off as too rigid where nobody wants to work with you.
Right.
But sometimes it's necessary.
So it's very important. It's important to understand how to set up the boundaries and how high, without them looking at you as being unapproachable.
Exactly, because you may impede your business by saying, I don't talk to anyone who says, tries to deviate from the plan. Well, you know, what I'm learning is you just have to have the confidence in yourself to be able to say, you know, I'm not comfortable talking about that. Or let's just keep it professional here. And a lot of times people look at you like, oh, come on, you're being... No. Stick with it. Even if you're being a prude or people say, no, stick with it.
And people will respect you.
And people will respect you eventually. Sometimes it works against you. People might call you names. That's what women are afraid of. It's not just, oh, you know, he's going to say no, he's not going to want to work with me. Sometimes men can be aggressive, or you may, you know, bruise their ego by turning them down, and they may call you names. And it's just how it happens in street harassment. A woman is walking down the street, somebody yells something about their body part, and they ignore the guy, or they say, like, what? And the immediate response is always, look at you. You're this, that. You think you're all that. And it becomes like a confrontation.
This seems to be very pervasive, and it's not limited just to Western cultures or Western societies. It's very, very common in Africa, too, in parts of the continent. But when did this become a thing? When did this become an acceptable way of treating other human beings?
It still is. You know? I mean, every time, let's say, on Facebook.
What are the roots of it? Is it from patriarchal society, paternalistic, you know?
Well, let me give you an example, right? I'm walking down the street. My face is very serious when I'm hanging out. I don't know why. It's just my resting face. It looks very serious and angry. And somebody walks past me and says, smile. You look prettier that way. And in my mind, I'm always like, do you know what is going on as a human being?
Right.
You don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
And also, I think women are supposed to be nice. Women are meant to be pleasant and nice looking. So you cannot walk around in your own thoughts. So it's almost like we're not allowed to own our bodies, to own our sexuality, to own our own space. It's almost like you have to abide by certain rules, maybe patriarchal, maybe societal, or maybe generational, maybe institutional, but you're supposed to behave a certain way. So I think, you know, sometimes, let's say on Facebook, I talk about the sexual harassment thing. People always are like, come on, Vienna. You know, either you like it, you know, it's a compliment, it serves to your ego. Why are you complaining? People are just appreciating your body.
And I've heard so many people say that, you know, why are you complaining? This is a compliment. This is somebody who's giving you attention. Why would you... You know, why would you complain about it? Why would you not like that?
Or they'll say, it's the things you wear. Because I'm always thinking to myself...
Oh, you're to blame.
Yeah, I am to blame. Because I'm thinking to myself, oh, so you're saying when I wake up in the morning and I get dressed, I should accommodate everyone that's going to be disrespectful to me before I walk outside of the house.
Right.
Or when I'm walking with my daughter, I have to explain to her that some men are disrespectful to women's bodies. And that's why when he walked past, when he drove past us, he honked and yelled, nice, blah, blah. You know, to me, it doesn't make sense. I don't think I want to raise a child in an environment where I'm telling her it's okay for men to misbehave or to disrespect her. You know, so I don't know where it comes from, but it sucks.
And you touched a little bit about the generational aspect to it, and you're talking about your daughter, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that your generation is starting to fight back, or things are starting to change?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think we're giving boys tools that they'll need when they're growing up, right?
Right, because this also involves educating the men.
Exactly, because when we talk about street harassment publicly, men start to notice, oh my gosh, maybe I have done that. Maybe I have driven past somebody jogging and honked because their body's shaking a certain way. Mm. Or boys will realize, oh yeah, on TV when I see women, I always see them as victims or people who need help. Oh, that's not true. My sister doesn't do that. My mom doesn't do that. So it's becoming a conversation where we're taking it from our private conversations just among girls or among women to a more public platform where men and women are participating in it.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Nadia Sam is in Johannesburg, South Africa. We're talking about sexual harassment, and we just heard from Vienna Mbagaya, a young health professional lady here in Washington, D.C. Another young professional that I reached out to is Tari Uwe. Tari Uwe is a grad student in Virginia. She remembers the time when she was a news anchor on TV in Nigeria, the type of response she was getting both at her workplace and from her viewers, mainly based on her gender.
I think that was when I kind of noticed something like that, because sometimes when I read the local news, and in fact, before I even get out of the studio, I'm seeing my male colleagues come up to me that, oh, this person wants your number, this person wants your number, and all that. I kept on saying no. Like, even when you read the news, it's not like you're dressed in a provocative manner or something.
Right.
But everybody just want to have the men just want to have their fair share to say, oh, probably they've had something to do with this lady. Whenever she's reading the news, it's more like
I've helped you get there.
Yeah, kind of like, not necessarily I've helped you get there, but I've had a share of this person.
Oh, yeah. She's been my girlfriend. You know
yeah, I mean? Yes, we've had something to do together and all that. So, I mean, it was that kind of...
Like in the work environment?
Yes, in the work environment. And it's not just in the news media. Mm. I also want to say that some female bankers, they encounter such also. Like if they go out there to look for customers to open an account with them or something, the next thing they begin to get the sexual harassment. And it's kind of unfortunate because some of these female bankers are given some targets. They must meet that target. They're trying to save their job.
Right.
And
so they have to get you to come and open an account.
Yes. And when you
So they're exploited in a way.
Exactly. I mean, their work is pushing them into doing what they otherwise not want to do.
Right.
And these men take that also as an advantage. I mean, if you don't want to have anything...
Have there been examples like that?
Of course. There are 1,000,001 examples.
It happens a lot.
It happens a lot. Yeah. And that's why most times... when people say, oh, I'm giving you a marketing job as a lady, you may want to think twice.
Why
like,
are you
is that
doing
really
it?
What I want? Because there are some things that come up with that.
So there are some jobs that you as a woman feel like you would be uncomfortable doing because of what
the society has made it to be. Like you have to market the bank or you have to market the company. And to an extent, also market yourself. So that's not a nice thing.
Wow. That's dangerous and scary too. You
exactly.
Know?
It's all some form of sexual harassment in the workforce.
Right.
Yeah.
Do women complain about it?
Of course. Women do complain about it. But some women don't care because, I mean, if they give the guy what he wants, they also get something in return, maybe
but also
a raise
feel,
or
is,
something.
Is it because they feel like nothing would change even if they complained or not?
Sometimes nothing changes.
But most times nothing
because
changes.
Because just like as I speak, it's not like something normal and it has already started in the minds. Just very few guys that want to open some a bank account or something without asking for the other aspects. So it's something that people are always conscious of and they know. And like some guys that I know, like once they get married to a lady who has been doing this marketing
work
business, they tell the lady to quit because
they
know what these ladies go through,
what they're exposing themselves to.
Exactly. Okay. Or even the ones that are not married but like serious relationships, they tell the lady, I'm sorry, you can't do this anymore. So
and this is a professional
career,
right.
Yes, because you go out there to tell people about their products and to see how you can gain customers. So in trying to gain customers, the prospective clients also want to gain you. So it's kind of sad, I would say. Judge the city, judge the town, the man,
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Stay tuned for Afro.